Welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, presented by Jewstool. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Let's get right into it.
You're completely missing the boat, Amr. You're at the wrong dock.
I'd have to say this. If he's looking to go to a new team, the last thing he wants to do is be like, oh, I'm not. Yeah. No, he's got to show up. He's got to show the Browns, you just lost $250 million by not playing, by not giving me that money. You're going to give him? Go for it.
This is crazy. Tyreek Hill going to the Dolphins for a 5 picks.
I can do vision.
Should we end the podcast now?
I think I'm at breaking news.
Should we end it now? Now or later? Which one?
I think I'm right now.
Hear it first. Asinine. You're crazy.
He's got the
crazy
full package.
No way.
Speed.
I don't care. No way. It's hard to even look at you right now when you say something like that. That's crazy.
We want to talk about legacy-defining plays. And legacy-defining plays. 13 seconds. And you get the ball in field goal range. That is absolutely insane.
I'm going to be frank with you guys. Mitch Trubisky is not a good NFL quarterback. He has never been.
Okay. And guess what? In basketball, you use a basketball. In football, you use a football.
Gobble, 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 everyone. That was two more gobbles than most people say, right? Normally it's only gobble, gobble. But yes, Thanksgiving is upon us. Tomorrow it's a fan favorite for football fans, no doubt, because there's football all day. Mind you, Meisty, actually there is I think week 16, we're going to have the same sort of setup on Sunday, because as a result of Christmas, all the games are going to be on Saturday. And then on Sunday, there's just going to be three games. One at 1, one at 4:30, one at 8-20. But similar setup as there is for Thanksgiving. So this is like a preview of what we're going to get in a few different weeks, Meisty. But I don't know, Meisty, how do you normally spend your Thanksgiving? You spend more time eating, watching football? What's our schedule looking like?
Football. Football is clear. I mean, there's nothing else on the schedule. That's it. It's football. Everything mm-hmm. else fits in around football. But football mm-hmm. is football. And then, like, oh, you have meal, you have to eat, you have friends to see, you have to go. Well, do it. No one's open. Everything is shut. Enjoy the day of football. I mean, it's what Thanksgiving was created for, football, not the other way around. The reason of Thanksgiving is that we sit and watch three bad games of football. I mean, that's great. That's great. And if you get lucky, you get a good game somehow. But
this year worked out. I agree. Definitely football, although there are certain foods I get very excited for when Thanksgiving comes around that I'm very excited for. But this year we sort of got a little lucky because there's some really intriguing games, right? Normally the Lions aren't very good. This year they're like one of the hottest teams in the NFC, right? And normally the Cowboys are like, you know, playing against the Giants and that's a terrible game. But this year they're like playing for a wild card. It's like ridiculous. And then the Patriots all of a sudden have the sixth seed in the AFC and the Vikings are the best team in the NFC. So it's the second best team in the NFC. So it's like, what's going on here? You know, like we have good games all of a sudden. Which
Morty perked up when you said the Vikings were the best in the NFC.
They're like the second, right. You know what I'm saying? Second best record. I don't even think they're the second best team. But besides the point, we will get to those games, of course. We will get to the pick'ems. But first, we want to do something a little different here. Speaking of Thanksgiving, we want to go through our list of the top five things that we love on Thanksgiving. It's a little different. I'm sure there will be a football twist to this as well, knowing that this is a football podcast. But basically, five things that, you know, we just love about Thanksgiving. And there are more things than that, obviously. But we have narrowed our list down to five things. And before I start this, I just want to get this out of the way, okay? The reason this is not on my list is because it's a given. Yeah, spending time with family, I have to get that out of the way. That is my favorite thing about Thanksgiving. It is so much my favorite thing, I don't even need to put it on the list because it goes without saying. Spending time with family, getting together, absolutely best part of Thanksgiving. Now that we got that out of the way, number five. Number five has got to be, Meisty, you mentioned it before the podcast, not having work, right? I mean, I love the job I have. I love my job. But it's just the fact that there's football on all day. If I had work, I'd be driving myself nuts. What's the score to the game? God, I can come home for an hour to watch some of the game. But now you don't have to worry about it. You can just sit down and watch football like on a Sunday when there's no work, and you can just sit down and watch football unless you're busy, and it's fantastic. So number five for me, Meisty, not having work, no question.
Hockey freedom is eating food, just plain eating, just getting to sit down. No one's going to tell you, you can't, that's too much. It has to be finished. Every time I've ever sat down Thanksgiving, whoever the host is, whether it's my mother, a neighbor, and food has to be finished. food has to go finish. And it's like, okay. And so you sit and you gobble, 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 gobble.
Okay, yeah, food is a great one. I actually, number four is along that theme. I split food into two just because there are so many good foods that I like on Thanksgiving that I needed to put two of them on the list. Number four is stuffing. I love stuffing. You know, you could sort of have it individually as its own dish, or you could have it with the turkey, but it's so versatile, right? It's like a good vegetable where you could have it on its own, but you could also have it with a protein, with chicken or meat. So I love stuffing, especially if it's made well. Homemade stuffing, very annoying to make, by the way. But if it's made well, fantastic. Stuffing is my number four. I'm going to go a little more specific with the food, just because food deserves two spots on Thanksgiving in this list.
Now, Rocky, I'm going to start with my fourth here. And, you know, this might be a little shock to some people that it's so low on my list. But watching football is number four.
Okay.
Watching football is my number four, Rocky.
I'm all ears. Why? Please, explain.
I mean, what do you mean? It's football. You get to sit down, you watch football, period. Anytime there's football, it's a great thing to do.
Yeah, number four, okay. Anyway, it's your list.
Exactly.
It's your list. I have to respect it. Number three for me is one of the most underrated parts about Thanksgiving, because when people think about Thanksgiving, they think about traffic. I love the fact that there is no traffic on Thanksgiving. I can go anywhere in 2 minutes. It's fantastic. I mean, you go down the streets, like during COVID, the 6 months right after COVID happened, it was a similar concept. Not many cars were out in the streets. There was no traffic. Thanksgiving is like that, even more extreme every single year. On a Thursday, you can go. I mean, I used to drive 50 minutes, 45, a drive that took me sometimes an hour and 15 minutes. It was like a 40-mile drive. It took me like 38 minutes on Thanksgiving. I mean, just unbelievable. I love just not having to worry about traffic. Fantastic. That's my number three.
Speaking of the traffic on a holiday, one Christmas morning, I drove with my cousin down to Florida, from Baltimore to Florida and to Miami. And we got there in 12 hours. I left 7 o'clock Christmas morning. I arrived 7 p.m. That's like 12 hours flat. And I mean, I may have been speeding a little bit, but not enough to be getting – I literally gained, you know, it's an 18-hour, 16-hour drive. I shaved 4 hours.
No, that's great timing. That's great timing. Definitely. Fantastic timing.
All right, ready for my number three?
Yeah, baby.
Watching bad football is my third. I love turning on the game, Thanksgiving. It's super hype. Everyone's hyping it up. The gambling is through the roof. The fantasy lineups are through the roof. Everyone's going nuts. It's like, oh, we have Thanksgiving football. And then it's like Christmas basketball. You sit down and it's an awful game. And you're like, what are we doing? Like Patriots, Vikings. Like, it might be 6-3 final score. And we're going to be like, did we seriously just waste our entire Thursday night watching Patriots, Vikings? Oh, do I love that. That is like when people get pissed off about a bad game. It's football. That's why four is football and three is bad football.
I hear that. It's like Thanksgiving is such a highly hyped day in the football world, because it's like, well, you know, it's become a part of American tradition, is that you have your feast, family comes over, and you have football. It's like synonymous with Thanksgiving, right? And it's like every year it happens to be, most of the time, the games are not particularly good. It's very funny. But obviously we're hoping that this year that goes ahead and changes. My number two is another food. One of my favorite foods in the world happens to be a Thanksgiving staple. Number three, I said already, there's no traffic. So I have number five, no work. Number four is stuffing. And number three is no traffic. Number two is one of my favorite desserts in the world. I love desserts in general. Pecan pie. Yes, I say pecan. Pecan pie. I love pecan pie. You got to say something about pecan pie. As long as, like, you don't have to make it with a cup of sugar like a lot of people do. You can make it with, like, honey, maple syrup, you know, something else. It's not overpoweringly sweet, but I love nuts. I don't love pecans plain, but once you put it with the sugar, you make them like sweet with whatever the sugar is, honey, maple syrup, sugar, and you put it in that just gooey consistency with the pie crust on the bottom. It's just an overall fantastic dessert. So shout out to pecan pie. Gets my number two on the list of my favorite things on Thanksgiving. And by the way, I'll just give a shout out to the rest of the foods, the turkey, whatever you have. That is, food is just such a big part of Thanksgiving. And we're grateful to have these things every year. We look forward to having these wonderful dishes. So number two is pecan pie from Eat Meisty.
Four, but you said it on the podcast, no work. I'm a guy that works, I work 5:30 a.m., 6:30 a.m. days. So for me, we're not, you know, getting to turn off my alarm in the morning or at, before I go to bed, I turn off my alarm and I'm like, oh yeah. So definitely number two, no work, relax, chill, kick it, hang out with some friends, family. That's the obvious, you know, so kicking it and relaxing on a Thanksgiving and watching football while doing it all is obviously that's my number two.
Yeah, so, you know, that's. I think the best thing about no work is not having to set your alarm. That's always a great feeling, right, when you don't have to set that, you know, especially you wake up at, like, the crack of dawn. So you're like, well, I'm setting my alarm for 4:30 in the morning in general, and now I don't even have to set my alarm. That's a fantastic feeling, no question. So for you, I definitely hear that. Fortunately for me, I don't have to get up quite as early, so that's why it's not as high on my list. But number one for me is obvious, Meisty. And, you know, no matter how bad the games are, obviously everyone can predict what my number one thing on Thanksgiving it is, and it's a full day of football, right? I mean, over here on the West Coast, we have 9:30 a.m. starts the games, right? Because it's 12:30 on the East Coast. So 9:30 a.m. starts the game. By the time the games are over, it's sort of like a Sunday, except it's even a little earlier. So it's like 9:30 a.m. By the time the game's over, it's about 8:15, 8:30. And I still have, you know, I can have my nightly routine that I normally have. So, like, it's fantastic, especially here on the West Coast, where you don't have to take away your night, and yet you still get to watch football all day. And let's be honest, the games aren't always great, but especially, you know, I think a bunch of years ago they added in that Thursday night game, which is generally a more competitive matchup, generally teams that are more closely competitive with each other. So, especially since they added that, the games are a little better. This year, on paper, you have some good games, which we'll get to in a minute, but football is my number one on my top five things about the top five favorite things about Thanksgiving, Wesley.
This is my number four, right? And it shook the world when I said that, but I'll tell you why. And this is the reason why. The number one thing about Thanksgiving, period. And I spoke to Morty about this earlier. There's nothing, absolutely nothing better than watching the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving. All right? It is the greatest. Yeah, because all the hype, the fans are out there. They're all pumped. And you're watching 100,000 in Cowboys Stadium just heart-wrenched, broken, just not sure what just happened to them. Cowboys lost on Thanksgiving. I don't even know the last time they lost on Thanksgiving. Maybe it was last year, the year before. I don't know, but we hate seeing them every single year. And guess what? That's why when they lose on Thanksgiving, it's like when your team wins the AFC Championship game, it's like, okay, one more game? That's the feeling of the Cowboys losing on Thanksgiving. Because, like, you're like, ha! And you're guaranteed a morning video of Stephen A. Smith saying, ha, 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 how about them Cowboys? And, you know, it's great. It's the best part about Thanksgiving. I look forward every single year to 4:30 p.m. to sit down and watch a garbage Cowboys team take on some other garbage team from the NFC East and just... Oh, I love it. I love watching the Cowboys lose on Thanksgiving.
So I actually heard an interesting statistic this morning. I watched a show called It's Just Football, a PFF show they have every morning. And basically, they always pose a question in the beginning of the show to see if anyone can answer it. They said, there are four teams that have never won a Thanksgiving game in the history of their franchise. Who are those four teams? I'll be impressed if you can get this. I mean, I know the answer now. I remember
I know,
three
I
of them.
I have to know. You ready?
Yeah, let's hear.
Giants.
No. The Giants? No, that's it. Mikey, that's a horrible guess. The Cowboys have been playing. The Cowboys have been playing on Thanksgiving forever. Obviously, they played the Giants. They played the Eagles.
I was hoping
to say
the Giants only because they're playing the Cowboys, and I was like, oh, that would be great.
Oh, yeah. No, the best would be if the Lions never won a game on Thanksgiving.
No, so I think that. Let me think for a second. Who's teams that don't play often?
Exactly. But first of all, think AFC teams, because most NFC teams are going to play either the Lions or the Cowboys probably at some point on Thanksgiving. And you also want to think about newer franchises, right? So that narrows down the list a little more. So if you want to, I can give you a couple of them. I can give you one of them.
All right, let me get the Atlanta Falcons.
I actually think that might be one of them. That might be one of them. Yeah, I think that's one of them. I don't remember. I remember three. I don't remember the fourth. I think that might be the fourth. That might be the fourth. Morty, you got any guesses for this one? Four teams that haven't won on Thanksgiving?
I have no clue here. But the Cowboys' record on Thanksgiving Day is 31-22-1.
All right, that's pretty good. That's actually a pretty good record. I mean, so that means they played for over 50
years. I would say the Bengals never won on Thanksgiving.
Ding, ding, ding. Very good. That is one. You got one. I think you're at two now. That's pretty good. Two guesses. Nice. And now the other two are obvious. Just don't overthink it.
So, the Bengals, because I've never in my lifetime, and I remember watching them play on Thanksgiving.
Exactly.
Like, I don't think they ever did.
I only got two right. I got two right. So, the next story
one. The Jaguars have never played on Thanksgiving. That's like a known thing.
Ding, ding, ding.
That's never played then. You can't say, oh, they never won.
But that's the point. You have to know who's never played. That in itself is a skill to know that. So now you have this used process of elimination, which was very good, very impressive. Now, who do you think number four is? Again, don't overthink.
So out there, how like the Panthers? I've never seen the Panthers play on Thanksgiving.
Right, so NFC teams are probably not a great guess. You know, that's right. The problem. So, okay, I'll give it 10 more seconds.
Lost. The Patriots ever? I think Brady lost on a Thanksgiving.
Eight, seven.
No, I don't know.
Six.
Brady eight, lost on Thanksgiving. That's all
four,
I remember.
Three, two, one. It's the Browns. Come on, you just can't overthink it. You know what I'm saying? So the Browns and the Jaguars are the two I got right off the bat. I'm like,
well,
Browns, Jaguars.
Those two teams, correct?
They might. I mean, the Browns have been around for a while. They probably played on Thanksgiving. The Jaguars have not been around for as long. So that one is more a result of them not being around for long enough. One of them suggested the Ravens, but we happen to know the Ravens won one game on Thanksgiving when they played the Niners. Jim Harbaugh versus John Harbaugh.
I only look up the stat. You have to look this up.
All right, so the Ravens win one thing. Okay, go ahead and look it up. I think we should start with the pick-ems, and we'll obviously start with Thursday's slate. And then when we get to Sunday's slate, we'll try to guess the biggest spread of the week. That'll be quite fun because there's some games here where I'm looking at for some pretty lopsided spreads, Morty. So let's start with I guess I'll start with the Thursday games, and then you'll take away with the Sunday games. Well, let's start with the Bills at the Lions. I believe the Bills are favored by 9 here, correct? Mm-hmm. Favored by 9.
9.5.
Favored by 9.5. Lions are could we say the hottest team in the NFC? I mean, listen, now that the Vikings, you know, big winning streak has been snapped and the Eagles' big winning streak was snapped, does anyone in the conference have longer than a 3-game winning streak right now? I don't know. But anyway, you know, this could be a shootout, you know, and I would that would be awesome. Can you imagine we wake up? For me, I wake up at 9:30 in the morning, and all of a sudden, I'm watching Jared Goff and Josh Allen go at it for 3 hours and just absolutely back and forth in a 40-something to 40-something game. No, but in reality, you can't expect the Bills to lose this game again. Lions are hot, but let's see them beat a real team like the Bills. I'm going to go with the Bills here, Meisty. What do you think?
I'm going to agree with you, but it's so crazy to me that this 9.5 spread, and I'll tell you why it really gets me. So I've seen I've seen numbers for who knows how many how long I've seen all these numbers, this number, that number. Everyone always talks about the double-digit spreads never cover. And this is the typical Vegas is like, no one's going to take the Bills if we place them at like 11. So they're like, you know what? Let's shave a couple points, knock it down to one digit, and everyone's going to cover. And the Detroit Lions are going to come out and cover. And it's going to be a good game, low scoring. Really high scoring? I don't know.
I think the over under is like 42 here. No,
54 and a half.
Oh, that's a later game, right? This one's 54. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, they do expect to be high scoring, right?
Yeah, they expect it to be high scoring, but to me, I think the under hits on there because something's wrong with the Bills, and I don't think it's something really absolutely really wrong. I think it's more of like a slump, and they're winning in their slump. But I think that they're struggling to, like, get off to as good of a start as they used to. Their defense isn't as good as it was originally. So I think it's Thursday. Everyone comes back. I think there'll be a low-scoring Lions cover, Bills win. But I'm not going to use that as any of my spreads this week. But the Bills are going to win a very close game here.
Josh Allen leads the league in turnover-worthy plays and interceptions, and he's had some critical interceptions towards the end of the game, so that's been a big downfall for the Bills over these last few weeks. It's sort of gotten progressively worse as the season's gone on. Now those big plays are still there. He's still one of the best quarterbacks in football, but he has had more. He's sort of reverted back to second-year Josh Allen in terms of the mistakes that he's been making at the end of the game. Giants at Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are favored here by also about 9.
I'm seeing 10 here.
Okay, so if you have minus 10 Cowboys, it's a big line. I think also Moore is out for the year, right? Torn MCL is out for the year.
But that wasn't the big, he's not the big
Yeah, I know, but you know, I guess the injuries are piling up somewhat here for the Giants. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Cowboys here. I mean, that performance they put against the Vikings was impressive. I mean, on all cylinders, right? That defense just completely shut down Justin Jefferson and Co. I know I played against you in Fantasy Meist, and you have Justin Jefferson, and I had Kirk Cousins, so that didn't bode well for either of us. I think we had the lowest scoring. I think we had the lowest scoring game in the whole fantasy season last week, right? It was awful. If it wasn't for Devontae Adams, we both would have scored 70 points. But anyway, point being that yes, I'm gonna go with the Cowboys after that shellacking of the Vikings, and the Giants maybe come back down to earth here, losing to the Lions. They're that type of team, maybe has a higher floor but a very low ceiling. So I'm gonna go with the Cowboys here.
We said the Giants were frauds and they weren't really the team they are, and there are all these issues, but I have to say the same thing about the Vikings. That's why I'm not so impressed with the Cowboys. Are supposed to be one of the best teams in football, period, hands down. And their defense is insane. I mean, Micah Parsons, he's different. He's a different person. I heard a stat today, or not stat, more like a thing, that when the Micah Parsons got hurt in the game against the Vikings, they were up 30 points, whatever, and he came back into the game in the fourth quarter just to play. He just wanted to play football.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. They were up by like a million points. I didn't even understand.
He didn't play because he's trying to play football. But you know what? He probably was like, "Coach, I'm going in." Coach was like, "Dude, you're not. You're done." And he's like, "Coach, I'm going in. Right, what are you going to do?" He can tell Micah Parsons he can't go play football. But at the same time, it's the Cowboys, and it's a division game. And we've always talked about this: division games matter. And the Giants, this is the games that they circle on their screen, on their calendar. Thanksgiving in Dallas. Let's go get ourselves a big win. I'm going with the upset. Give me the Giants here. Cowboys stink. Let's go Giants.
Okay. Morty, who you got? I forgot to get your pick in for the Bills game, first of all, and then we'll get the Cowboys game.
So, definitely.
I'll take the Bills here. I do think it's going to be close. Should be a fun game. Giants, Cowboys. Listen, like Micey said, as much as we do like to watch the Cowboys lose, I think at least people were expecting the Cowboys to be good. So, like, I think it'll be nice to shut up the Giants fans a little bit, give them a loss, bring it back down to earth a little bit. Cowboys shouldn't have a problem with them at home, so I'll take the Cowboys here.
Agreed. Next game also is a team that you mentioned might see probably a little, not really as the record indicates, considering they have a negative point differential. Every team in the NFC North has a negative point differential, which you posted on the chat a few days ago, and it's a fascinating stat. But nonetheless, they're 8-2, so give them credit where credit is due. They're going up against a Patriots team. By the way, can I just say that negative point differential, they got shellacked in their two losses to the Eagles and the Cowboys. So that's also a big factor, just two really bad losses.
Obviously, if you're following the season, it's like, oh, okay, whoopie doopie whoopie.
Correct.
It's still a fact, and it's still a stat, and it's still something that we're going to talk about because it's content.
Yes, and if you look at the roster, they shouldn't be 8-2 right now, but they are. They look more like a 6-4 team. But anyway, I think they're going to beat the Patriots. And the Patriots, they've been playing pretty well the last couple of weeks, but as a result of their defense, and look who they played the last 3 weeks. Two times against Zach Wilson. We already know the disaster it's been over there offensively for the Jets. And against Sam Ellinger. We already know the disaster that's been because they put Matt Ryan back in after they swore by the fact they weren't going to put him back in. So just disaster they've been going up against. Now, the Patriots have done interesting things on defense. Matthew Judon leads the league in sacks. Who the heck saw that coming? Just interesting pieces. After we saw the Patriots draft this offseason, we're like, they had a horrible draft. And somehow Belichick makes it work. And they have a winning record now, contending for a wild card spot. But Mac Jones has not been good, Meisty. That offense has not been good. It's not been a bright spot. He has not had more than one big-time throw this entire season, with the exception of the game against the Ravens, which was his best game of the season, by the way. But other than that, his passing grade is 51.7 of the lower of the starting quarterbacks in the league. So not playing very well. The Vikings are just a better overall team. It's going to be difficult. One thing Belichick is very good at, Meisty, which we discuss a lot, is taking your best player away. Throw to Thielen. I have no problem with that. They'll take away Jefferson. They'll throw to Thielen. They'll be fine. I'm going with the Vikings.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Actually, while you were talking, I watched the line move from 3 to 2.5, which is interesting. It's a whole a three.
Is it 2.5? I'm taking 2.5.
Yeah, I just went to 2.5. Literally just went to 2.5.
I take it.
Why are we going to 2.5? But it could just be anything. But I agree. I think the Vikings whoop them. Like, I know the Patriots, like you said, the Patriots seem really good, but we're in Minnesota. The weather is not going to be a factor. The lights are on, so Kirk Cousins might have issues. But it is considered Sunday Night Football. This is prime time, even though it's on Thursday night.
Thanksgiving night is a big one. It's a big. The lights are on, like you said. It's, you know.
It is. It is a big one, and Kirk Cousins is going to have to come out and prove that he can do it. And if there's a game, listen, it's the Patriots. It's not anything special, but they're the Patriots. And I think that to me, it's like when you beat the Patriots, if you can crush the Patriots, you just did something really good just now. Because it's hard to crush them. Yeah. Bill Belichick, it went back to three.
I got 2.5. I put it in already. 2.5.
Darn. So I'm still going to take three because I'll take my three.
No, you can take 2.5.
Like, however, I think they crush them. I don't think it's even that close. I am all over the Vikings this week. As much as I think that they are awful team and that they're like complete frauds, and you know people, you know the last time a team had a point differential, what was it? They were like
a negative point differential, and we're 8-2.
Differential? Why?
The negative point differential.
The Oakland Raiders in 1970s. And you know what? They won those Super Bowl that year.
I know. Yeah, I heard this. I know. What that indicates, I'm not sure. But
what
anyway.
Do you mean? You know what it indicates? If you look at it, who was their coach? John Madden. So
76.
It helps to have John Madden as your coach. It don't matter what you're doing.
And that defense, Madden, was, so. That defense was an absolute
But I don't think the Vikings crushed this incredible. One. I don't think Mac Jones. Once again, there's no reason why Mac Jones scores. He can't. He just can't score. He will not put the ball in the end zone. So unless there's a huge rushing touchdown or something else, the Patriots just will not score. And like you said, Kirk Cousins to Adam Thielen, I will take it all day.
Yeah, I completely agree. Morty, who you got in this game, Vikings against the Pats?
I'm not going to overthink it. I'm going to bet against primetime Kirk Cousins. So give me the Patriots.
Fair enough. All right, we're both going with the line. All right, so let's get to Sunday's action, and Morty will take it away. Let's bet. Let's have the... Let's try to bet the biggest spread of the week. Mice, okay. You ready for this?
Biggest spread of the week. I'm going to give you three matchups, and you guys are going to tell me which of these games has the biggest spread.
Ready now.
Okay. We have the New Orleans Saints playing in San Francisco against the Niners as matchup one. We have the Los Angeles Rams playing in Kansas City against the Red Hot Chiefs. And we have the Houston Texans playing in Miami against the Dolphins. Who's got the biggest spread?
Right, so I have...
Yeah, go ahead, Rock.
I have it narrowed down to two. The problem is, you know, these were good options, Morty, also because they're all playing at home. All the favorites are playing at home. So, you know, these are very good options. I still think you gotta give the Dolphins the biggest spread here, right? I mean, I'm thinking either Dolphins or Chiefs. The Saints will probably get a couple more points against the Niners, but I'm thinking either Dolphins or Chiefs. I'm gonna finalize with the Dolphins. They're going against the team that's front runner for the number one overall pick. I haven't seen anything positive from them. Whereas you're looking at a Rams team that still has Matthew Stafford, like still has some weapons, and it's not looking great there. But I can't see the Rams having like. I think that the Dolphins are favored by 14 or 15. That's what I think, Misty.
When I first opened the slate, the third game I saw was or the Sunday slate. The first thing I saw was Texans Dolphins. I was like, "Oh yeah, that's the biggest." So there's no way they're in it. And then you're like, "Oh, Rams Chiefs," and I was like, "Thought back." I was like, "The Rams have been god awful this year. They've been awful." And Mahomes is so good. Like, I don't know if I said it on this podcast. I don't know if I've told you, but I saw a stat that 50% of his games, he's averaging like 300 yards, 4 touchdowns in 50% of his games.
Yeah, and like, unbelievable.
And the rest of his games aren't like, oh, he's doing garbage. No, he's just not having 202 touchdowns, not 304. It's still insane. The guy's insane. And he's played, it doesn't matter who he has, which receiver's on the field, which receiver's off the field. He's got them all running, doing the right things, in the right places. That's huge coaching, right? That's a huge thing for coaching. But to me, I think the Rams have been so awful. The Dolphins might just like put up 20 points and then like stop. The Chiefs will just keep scoring on you. So for me, I think the Chiefs are I don't know, maybe it can't be that high. 13-point rant Chiefs over the Rams. 13.5 is what I think it is.
Okay. Let's hear mine.
So you both avoided the smallest spread, being the Saints at the Niners, sitting at 9.5. So one of you picked the right game. I'll tell you the spread, and you might be able to figure out the game based on this.
Is it 14 or 15? One of those two numbers?
15.5
18.5.
On the Chiefs.
Really?
Yeah. The Dolphins are 13.5.
Because Rocky, the Texans can score. I know, I'm sorry to say, but the Texans
they could?
Yeah, they can score a touchdown. Yeah, they one time they got one touchdown a game. Because they can score a touchdown, a couple field goals. Yeah,
Are you thinking Matthew Stafford or Davis Mills? But the Rams just won the Super Bowl last year. I mean, the Rams are a disaster.
I think that's, I just got an alert. Matthew Stafford's not even playing this week, all right?
Is that the case?
Stafford. Aaron Rodgers. Oh, I just got this. The Aaron Rodgers broke
something. Okay, let's. That's it. Yeah.
Broke something?
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, 50 minutes ago, I got an alert that I'm just reading now that Aaron Rodgers has a broken thumb.
Oh, it was wrapped up last week.
Yeah, he's been playing with it since week 5, apparently.
Aaron Rodgers.
So wait, is he playing or not?
Yeah, he's in. I think he's in. Okay. It sounds like he's out for the season or anything.
Yeah, he's playing. He's playing. All right, let's start the Sunday games then, Morty.
Okay, let's
please
get
take it away.
Let's start at home with the Ravens going to Jacksonville. The 7-3 Ravens playing the 3-7 Jaguars. While the Jaguars have had flashes of brilliance, they've been pretty much what we'd expect from a Jaguars team. The spread is Ravens -4. I feel like that's kind of a small spread for the Ravens. Is this disrespectful, Rocky?
It's on the road. Yeah, generally Vegas likes the Ravens. They put a little more points. I'm a little surprised. I would think it was like -7, so that's what I would have guessed. But anyway, I'm going to go with the Ravens here. The Ravens have a very fortunate in that they have a pretty easy schedule down the stretch. I think the fourth easiest schedule here down the stretch. So they don't have to play great football like they did last week against the Panthers. They can still squeak out these wins. So should be able to win 11, 12 games here down the stretch, which is a pretty good number. I'm going to go with them to beat the Jags here.
You could have said to me Ravens -12.5, and I would have told you smash. I'll tell you why. It sounds like, oh, it's a mighty thing to say, but I'm serious. The Ravens have had 10-point leads against every single team this year, right?
Yes.
You're telling me that they're going to blow a 10-point lead to the Jaguars? No. They're going to get ahead by their 10 points like they normally do, and then, yeah, the Jaguars might score, but the Ravens will keep that 10-point lead. This is crazy. Like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen done to the Ravens. And Billy Cundiff is pretty bad. This is Billy Cundiff's type stuff right here. Just awful numbers. But listen, hey, on the road, Lamar struggles sometimes. It should be nice weather, though. Give me the Ravens all day. And this is ridiculous. Also, by the way, speaking of Matthew Stafford, he is out. Bryce Perkins is playing this week.
Okay, so that makes a lot more sense. That makes a lot more sense. Meister, are you taking the Ravens -4? I like that spread as well.
-3, not okay. Minus whatever it is.
Okay, we'll both take it. More Ravens -4. Yeah,
make,
I like it.
Make that 3. I think that's too good of a spread to miss there.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's a nice one.
All right. Okay, let's move on to our next game. We have the Denver Broncos. Stout defense going into Carolina to play the Panthers. Similar records, 3-7 Broncos, 3-8 Panthers. Panthers are underdogs here, +2 at home.
Yeah, Sam Darnold coming in, I think, starting, right? So I actually like the Broncos in this one. Panthers defense progressively got better throughout the season, but then last week against the Ravens, everyone's like, whoa, they have a great defense. Now, they have a good defense. They don't have a great defense. Let's calm down. But at the end of the day, it was just one of those games. But yeah, I'm liking the Broncos to win this game. The Broncos offense sort of had like 2 or 3 big plays every game, but for the most part, just not very good. What's that number we saw from Nick Wright? I think his name is Nick Wright from CBS Sports. He said that it had the Broncos scoring 18 points in regulation every single game, they would be 9-1 right now, which is just a remarkable number because the defense is just playing absolute lockdown football. And it'll be good enough, you know, if the Ravens defense could lock down the Baker Mayfield-led Panthers to 3, I think that the Broncos will do just fine in the Sam Darnold-led Panthers offense.
I don't know how you can respect the Broncos like that, Rocky. That's a lot of respect you just sent there.
It's
way.
Not respect to the Broncos. It's just this. It's just the Panthers aren't good.
The disrespect to the Panthers?
Yeah, they're not good.
Listen, I'll say it this. I think the Panthers are making a mistake by not playing Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold ain't no starting quarterback, nor is P.J. Walker. Baker Mayfield is a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's better. He's probably better than most of the 32. I don't say most, but he's better than a handful of 32 of the starters. So I think it's a mistake that the Panthers are making, but at the same time, at home, Broncos on the road. Dude, this is like the worst Russell Wilson. This is Russell. The name Russell and sports just needs to be banned. Russell Westbrook, Russell Wilson, all of it. They just have to go. I don't know. I like the Panthers here. It's not pretty. It won't be pretty game. It'll probably be give me 12-6. Broncos don't score a touchdown. 12-6 Panthers. So Panthers. Morty.
I'm going to go Broncos here just because defense.
Exactly.
Solely based off of that. Don't. And again, I agree with you, my C. Baker should be in this game. Should be starting quarterback. Absolutely. Let's move on.
One bad week for the Ravens.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next game. The Atlanta Falcons, 5-6, going into, is it FedEx Field? FedEx Field.
Yeah.
To play the Commanders at 6-5. Commanders have been looking pretty good recently. They're favored by 4.5 at home. Rocky, can the Falcons do some damage against this, what's looking to be a pretty stout Commanders team?
Landover, Maryland. There it is in the Commanders FedEx Field. Yes, I actually do think the Falcons are going to upset the Commanders here. The Commanders are on sort of a little hot streak. 5 out of 6, I believe it is, right? That's what they won. So the Commanders in reality have a very good front seven, as we suspected before the season. Even without Chase Young, they've sort of exceeded expectations. But the offense is pretty much, you know, the difference between Carson Wentz and Taylor Heineke is Taylor Heineke is willing to take those shots down the field and give Terry McLaurin a chance, which is your best offense when you have a guy like Terry McLaurin. But is that a consistent recipe for success? I don't know. The Falcons are sort of a weird offense. It's a little hard to defend. I like the Falcons to win this one.
I agree once again with you. Wow, Rock, we are really set. We are seeing opposites right here. I mean, I've been watching these commandees, and their fans have been on board. I like when a team is a struggling team, and you'll see it one day with the Jaguars, but when a bad team starts to like pick up the pace and starts doing some good things, their fans start getting super hyped and everyone starts rallying them, and then they lose. They don't make the playoffs. It's like the Orioles this past year with the Orioles. They everyone hyped it up. Everyone was so excited. The Orioles were doing good, and then flat. That's what's gonna happen. The Commanders will gather all this up, and they'll get there, and they'll be very exciting down the stretch. Week 16, they still have a shot at the playoffs. That's crazy to me. Right? And then they're going to lose 16, 17, 18. So I'll take the Commanders here because I think the Falcons are just atrocious. And like you said, front sevens, I think that the Commanders, they're going to get that. I don't even know who the starting quarterback for the Falcons is this week. They will get to him.
Tom Mariota?
I don't know. Maybe. It might be. Who knows? You never know with these bad teams. These teams are always switching up things, trying to blame
the Falcons. The Falcons aren't a bad team. They're not great, but they're not a bad team. They do a lot of creative things on offense.
They always find ways to lose.
They're 5-6, so they found a way to win 5 games this year.
They did just lose Kyle Pitts.
Oh, that's true. That's a big loss. That is true. Okay, I'm sticking with it, though. I'm going with Falcons. That's a big loss, yeah.
Rocky, you say they're 5-6, but like they beat the they beat the Falcons. They beat the Seahawks, who I guess that was actually a crazy game. They scraped on past the Browns. And what did they do? They beat the 49ers. Was that the week that what's his name got hurt, I think? I don't know. But they're okay. They're okay. They're nothing special.
Just like the Commanders. They're okay.
I do like watching the Falcons play. I think I'm going to go with the Commanders here. I'll go with them out of respect because they gave the Eagles their loss. So just this is a respect pick. For the Commanders, they only get one of these, so if they screw this up, it's over.
Yeah.
And we can move on to our next game. We have Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears going into the Meadowlands to play the Jets, who have just announced that they are benching Zach Wilson. Is that correct?
For Mike White? Yeah, that's in fact the case.
And not Joe Flacco. The Jets are still favored by 6 points. Rocky, what do you make of this quarterback?
I don't know, man. You know, I always pick against the Bears, but I think the Jets are going to win. So I'm sort of trying to go the opposite here. I think I should go with the Bears just because I think the Jets are going to win. And then that's all my logic dictates over here. Because, you know, the Bears have explosive plays in them. The Jets offense has been disastrous. I mean, Zach Wilson just hasn't been good. Well, on the bright side of things, right, Mike White cannot possibly be worse than Zach Wilson has been this year. So that's a way to look up if you're a Jets fan. But, Can the Bears do it against this Jets defense? I'm just going to pick the Bears, pick it, then switch, go against what I think. I'm going to go with the Bears here, Meisty.
Well, okay, so first of all, I don't know. I mean, I'm a big Jets fan. I don't know if you know this, Rock. I'm a huge Jets fan. So, and to me, this is the right move, benching Zach Wilson. I mean, after what he said in the press conference last week and everything leading up to it and the fact that he's just not playing, get him out of there, for now at least. But the fact that you're not going to start the Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah, egregious.
A guy who still clearly showed he has it. He has what it takes to win games. He knows what it takes to win football games. He might not be the Joe Flacco he once was. But you're going to play Mike White over Joe Flacco when the playoffs are on the line?
You
want to know what Mike White can do? Fine. When the season's over and you've been eliminated, go play Mike White and sit Flacco. But when the season's still going and you have a real shot at a play, not that, you have an actual shot at a Super Bowl. You are almost Super Bowl contender. You are a quarterback away from a Super Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, Rocky, you're not going to sit here and tell me that the Jets are not a quarterback away from a Super Bowl.
Everyone's a quarterback away from a Super Bowl. They're great, but I'm saying they're not. It's a Super Bowl contender right now. Right,
look at the Jets team. Look at the Jets team. You can give the Texans Patrick Mahomes, they wouldn't win. But regardless, they'd win some, but not the Super Bowl. My point is the Jets have a receiving corps. The Jets have running backs. The Jets have a sick defense. Two of the top cornerbacks in the league this year. Everything is working out for them right now. But then they have a quarterback. Literally, their defense is holding teams to very low points. And then you have a guy who can't even drive the ball down the field. Come on. Hey, you got to stop. You know what? I thought it was that I'd go after Lamar Jackson in the offseason. Either way, that's just me being a big Jets fan. I'd want Lamar. Okay. So
they'll gladly sign for $300 million. Gladly.
Correct. My point was this. Not playing Joe Flacco is a mistake. And I guarantee you that at some point in this game, Mike White gets benched and Joe Flacco comes in. And that is why I will start Joe Flacco in fantasy this week.
Am I playing you? I hope so.
I don't know. I actually have Justin Fields, and he is questionable, by the way. That is part of the reason why this line is at this moment big. But yeah, he got injured in the shoulder last week in the stupid play.
Oh, right.
Either way, I listen to a podcast most of my day and most days of the guy. He's a big Bears fan. I don't know if we're allowed to talk. We're allowed to speak their names or not on these podcasts. But he says it best. He goes, Justin Fields is doing just the right thing. And the reason is, it's because he's showing, look, I'm good. I can play. I'm talented. I have what it takes to win, right? But the Bears aren't winning right now. The Bears aren't in a winning form. The Bears want to lose. They want the best pick they can get possibly in the draft. So what does he do? He plays a full 3 quarters and 10 minutes of perfect football. It's genius. 3 quarters, 10 minutes, give us perfect football. Justin Fields. All right, now go lose the game. And but once again, it's a game where I believe the Bears win this one. The Jets playing Mike White is a mistake, and that is why it's going to cost them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go. The Justin Fields injury does worry me a little bit, but I think I'm going to take the Bears plus the points here. I think they'll at least keep it close against the Jets.
Plus six,
yeah.
Oh, yeah? Fair enough.
And we'll move on to our next game. The Cincinnati Bengals, 6-4, going into play the Titans at 7-3. This looks, on paper, to be a great game. Titans are favored +2.5 at home. Rocky, what do you make of this matchup?
This is a big game for the Bengals. They have yet to, on their schedule, they still have the Bills, they have the Chiefs, they have the Bucks. So they have some really tough games down the stretch. They have the Ravens still. But I'm going to go with the Titans. Titans find ways to win games even when you don't necessarily think it's going to happen. Jamar Chase isn't there, and the passing game hasn't really skipped a beat without him. But let's calm down, Meister. We know how important Jamar Chase is to that offense, right? Can they consistently be this good, especially when they run up against a feisty defense like the Titans? I actually like the Titans to win this game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Interesting. I think the Titans also win this game. Just like you said. You said it right. They always find ways to win. But you know what? Actually, give me the Bengals, and I'll tell you why. This is a This is a win or go home situation for the Bengals. You win this one, your playoff hopes are still alive. You lose this one, your playoff hopes start to slip away because, like you said, they have a tough schedule. And if they don't beat those teams, they're not going to start winning games. And then, I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. The AFC is just too good this year to lose seven games. You're out. You're done. You'd be way out of the playoffs by then, right? My other thing is, with the Bengals, is that they are at the same exact spot they were last year. A big game coming up against the Chiefs, exact record as they were last year. Injuries were piling up at the same time, but then they got everyone back, and they make it work. Are they going to do that this year? I don't think so. We'll see what happens. You can't judge this year based off other years, but I think that the Jets are in a win or go home situation, and when your backs are to the wall like that, I want Joe Burrow. Give me Joe.
I hear. Mm-hmm. Fair point.
I like that a lot. I'm going to go with Meisty here. I like the Bengals. I think the Titans are playing really well right now, which is not a good thing. You said they find ways to win games. They also find ways to lose games, in my opinion. right. Just when we start saying, oh, the Titans are a pretty good team, they'll go and they'll lose, like, badly to the Bengals. They'll have, like, a bad game, and everyone will be like, oh, it's the Titans. They're not good anymore. And they step it up, and they play, and they win a bunch of big games. I do think this is one of the games that they lose. The over-under is at 42.5. I kind of do like an over here. I think it's just points game.
Yeah, right.
Joe Mixon in, we saw P. Ryan, his backup, he got three tutties last week. So clearly that won't affect them too much. It's going to be a big running game, I guess, without Jamar Chase. It's going to be, Henry and either P. Ryan or Mixon. It should be a good game either way, though.
I hear what you're saying about the over. I do like that, but the issue is with these are two teams that will run the ball a lot this game, most likely. For sure, the Titans, that's all they have. They have run, and the clock runs. And that's why I think the unders on these types of games when the clock's just because
it's going to be a quick game, you're saying.
Yeah, it'll be a very quick game. The thing is, though, that when the clock's running, the scoring is just lower.
Uh-huh. I hear that. That's a valid point.
Who had Samaje Perine in their starting lineup last week? That's what I want to know.
I had Mixon, but I picked up Perine in case he's out this week.
A crazy stat in DraftKings. So there's a contest. Winner gets $1 million. There's, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people. Lineups. But hundreds of thousands of lineups every week go into this contest. Only 0.1% of them had Perine.
That's crazy.
Only 0.1%.
But that 0.1% that had it. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Right.
Actually, Rocky, give me the spread here.
Yeah, what is it? What is it?
I think it's 2.5. I'm just looking plus at the other games really quick.
You could do it for now and then switch it if you want.
Oh yeah, maybe I'll switch it. But give me it for now. Okay. And we can move on to our next 1 o'clock game. We have here's one of our big spread games. The 1-8-1 Texans going in to play the Dolphins. The line, like we said earlier, is -13.5 for the Dolphins. Rocky, can the Dolphins cover that spread?
They could, but will they? I'm definitely not going to touch it. That's for sure. I have one spread left, but yeah, let's just give me the Dolphins. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. I think probably most of America is going to pick the Dolphins. Miami.
Yeah, as we discussed before, right? You're like, oh, the Texans, they don't score. They didn't score. 10. This is their last games. 10, 16, 17, 10. 20, they won against the Jaguars, 13-13. They put up 24 against the Chargers, 20 against the Bears. They only had 9 against the Broncos, good defense. They tied against the Colts in week one, and that was 20 points. So to sit here and say, oh, they can't score at all. They will find a way to put the ball in the end zone. They will find a way to have field goal opportunities.
They are second last in the league in points scored behind only the Broncos. They have less than 16 points scored per game. That's a disaster, Meisty. It's horrible. Like looking up the stats as you were saying this.
Right, but the game, we're talking about them covering, the Dolphins covering or not, the game will end up at 20-7, 20-6, 20-10, 20, something like
maybe.
That. Where Dolphins don't love to run the scores up. For some reason, the Dolphins, they'll score enough, and then they'll, run the ball with Mostert and this guy and that guy and this guy, and then Jeff Wilson will run the ball 700 times, and then they'll just get, a bobble thing, and they're not, listen, it's a game where you're trying to get hurt. against the Texans, so you don't want to get hurt, right? Yeah, you need your players. You're not trying to like make risky plays here. I think that once again, the Texans will score their average 10 points a game, whatever they're scoring, and everything will. It'll be the most average bet football game out there.
Okay, fine, but the Dolphins are going to win. I'm assuming.
Yes.
Yeah, you can put me down for the Dolphins as well. Surprise, surprise. And we'll go to our last early game of the 1 o'clock window. I mean, of the Sunday window, I guess. The Buccaneers 5-5 going into Cleveland to play the Browns 3-7. Browns are favorites by 3.5. I guess that's just the home spread.
Buccaneers are favorites.
The Bucs are favored by 3.5. Rocky, what do you think?
This is a sneaky game for the Browns to win, but I'm going to go with the Bucs. I hope that Brady has found something over there because the Bucs were just completely underwhelming. Now they're finally back in first place in the division they should be dominating. Give me the Bucs. Deshaun Watson coming back next week or in 2 weeks, whichever one it is. Give me the Bucs.
Interesting. I agree with the Buccaneers winning here just because of Brady. And like, but it could be really cold in Cleveland, and that can really affect Brady. We've seen the cold affect Brady's game before. You know what? Give me Cleveland to win this one.
Okay.
Give me Cleveland here. This is an interesting one. I mean, it's the last week of Jacoby Brissett, so he's got nothing to lose, right? I think it's his last week. Right? He's going to be going out there slinging the ball. He's going to try to find Peoples-Jones 7 different times down the field. It might be risky, but I think that the Browns defense, guys like Myles Garrett, and they'll come alive a little bit and hold the Buccaneers to enough to score. So I'm going to take the Browns here.
Okay. I
like it. Okay. I really do want to take the Browns, but
it looks so pretty, right?
It does look really pretty, right? It's like a nice, juicy, like Browns. Like Browns will come out. But again, like I think I started the season taking the Bucs. For like probably the first all their losses, I was like, oh, the Bucs, they're gonna come back, right? And then they came back and they started winning a bunch of games, and I don't trust them anymore. I mean, I feel like they're bound to flop on one of these matchups, but I don't think it's this one. It's just Brady. Brady just pushes the needle towards the Bucs for me. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to go with Brady and the Bucs here.
That's what it comes down to.
You know, this is a later game, right? This game doesn't kick off at 1 o'clock. This game kicks off at 1:02 p.m. It says.
No.
Yahoo is saying
it's a late game. It's a late game.
It's a late, right? You better make sure to set your fantasy lineups by 1:01 p.m. Please.
If you
DraftKings literally says every other game 1 o'clock, but this one it says 1:02.
Yeah, I don't know why the delay over there.
Interesting. Okay. So
to Roger, honor Brady.
In honor of Brady. Okay.
Silence.
We'll move on to our 4 o'clock games, starting with the Los Angeles Chargers going into the desert to play the Cardinals. Cardinals are underdogs by 3 points at home.
Three points at home. I mean, it's just because of the Chargers' injuries. But now they got Keenan Allen and Mike Williams back. Like, last week, everyone's like, oh, the Chargers, the sky is falling. They're going to get killed against the Chiefs. And they nearly won that game. I mean, that was a fantastic game. We know that when Herbert and Mahomes goes out, Herbert is special. You know, nobody can downgrade his level of talent, his level of play. It's been unfortunate, the Chargers. Chargers staying healthy is, like, less likely than, like, you winning the lottery. You know what I'm saying? It's, like, it's just never happened. So, but I still think the Cardinals have been struggling. Everyone's calling for Kingsbury's head. I'm going to go with the Chargers here, Meisty.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Chargers spread here. And the Cardinals are 1-5 at home this year. I mean, they've just been awful. Kyler Murray is still not playing, right? Do we know if he's playing this week? We still don't know. That'll be game time decision again type thing. I think the Chargers are just – the Chargers need to start winning games if they want to see the playoffs, right? So, I mean, they're not that they're not, you know, but they're 5-5. They need to start winning games. They're 3-2 on the road. They've lost two straight. I can't see the Chargers losing a third one. I think they come out hot, and they're just going to just put the game away early and call it a day. It'll be the 4 o'clock game that's not shown on Red Zone a lot.
Yeah.
I could see that. I think the Manning Saints Niners isn't going to see red zone at all.
Oh yes, good. Well, that,
what actually we're going to see, it's the 4 o'clock games. They have so few to choose from. The Chiefs are going to be winning by a million, so they're not going to show that. And it's just going to be, or it's just going to be constant red zone Chiefs.
That's yeah, all. This might be the best. This might be the best game of the 4 o'clock slate, actually.
Yeah, give me the Chargers here. They're going to step it up, hopefully, for the play, you know, to make a play at the playoffs here. I do like the spread also. What was the last spread I took? The Bengals?
You took the Bengals +2.5, so.
Minus.
To be honest.
Oh, +2.5?
Yeah, it's
minus 2.5.
Are the Bengals favorite against the Titans?
No.
Bengals are -2.
-2.5.
Oh, the Bengals are favorite on the road against Tennessee, really?
Yeah, but give me the Chargers. Give me the Chargers. You can switch my spread to the Chargers -2.
Oh, anyway, okay, fine.
Yes. And we'll move on to our next game. The Las Vegas Raiders going into Seattle to play the Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 3.5. I feel like that might be a little small. I mean, Rocky, would you expect that line to be a little larger?
No, I mean, yeah, maybe a point or two, but... When you come off like a hot win like that, Devontae Adams walk-off touchdown in overtime, it's like, oh, wow, the Raiders are back. No, obviously they're not. The team has been struggling much more than we thought they would this season. And something like I wanted to pick the Raiders this game because I'm like, I mean, Derek Carr to Devontae Adams can't be that bad. You're not going to be an awful football team. You're going to be competitive in a lot of games when you have that sort of hookup. But that's where I'm going to pick the Seahawks here, right? There's still a lot of those draft picks are panning out here, Meisty. People look at Geno Smith and they say that's the reason they're winning. He's the main reason they're winning. But also, the roster has been way better than we thought it would be coming into the season. So I'm going to go ahead and pick the Seahawks here.
I was really hoping you would pick the Raiders so that I can, like, dig into you. But I 100%, that's the exact reason why I'm not picking the Raiders, because everyone else thinks they're back and they're good and they have it. I don't have another spread to pick, but if I had one, I would pick the spread here. But I will take the Seahawks. I think Geno Smith at home, 12th man, is alive. And I think that, once again, they'll just prove why the Seahawks are just – I mean, they'll just continue to expose Josh McDaniels and the Raiders. And just – it's so brutal. It's brutal. It is so brutal to watch the Raiders play because they're so talented and they have so many players. And they're just like, nope.
We should get odds for like the first coach to be fired.
Oh yeah,
it's like they the Raider.
Well, Frank do? Reich.
Right. Oh no! At the end of the season.
Oh, after the, I mean, the Monday.
Well, some of these guys, like Cliff Kingsbury, might not even. I mean, he'll make it to the end of the season, then he'll be tossed probably.
That's a tough one.
See the playoffs and stuff.
Yeah.
Hackett probably won't even make it to the end of this. He'll be fired like week 15.
I heard they can't afford to fire Hackett.
That's what I heard also, yeah.
I've heard that the Raiders aren't can't pay the severance package for McDaniels.
Oh, is that what it was?
They guaranteed him the job.
Right. Good point.
That being said, I'm going to take the Seahawks here. Comeback player of the year, Geno Smith.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they just stomp them here at home. Move on to our second biggest, third biggest spread.
Morty, let me ask you something, Morty.
What's up?
Why is he comeback player of the year? He didn't play last year.
That's how bad he was. He didn't even get to play. They started him as hopefully he can do something, right? Now they're sitting here with a winning record, 6-4. He's outplaying Russell Wilson. They clearly destroyed. They won the trade against the Broncos. Nobody can deny them that, right? What more? This is like as good as any Seahawks fan could hope for.
I agree completely, Morty. I mean, that's such an accurate assessment. Calling Geno Smith a proclamation. Calling Geno Smith a proclamation project is nice.
He's risen, bro.
Yes,
like a holiday.
Player of the year, he has risen. But the comeback player of the year, you've got like Saquon Barkley, who were momish injured last year. Geno Smith just sucked last year. He's not coming back from sucking.
Yeah, he is.
A comeback player always is the guy that gets.
Yes, he is. He didn't. He wasn't good. He was never. He wasn't good last year. Just like he wasn't good 10 years before. I don't understand the difference.
He's not coming back. It's not comeback. Saquon Barkley is coming back. Saquon Barkley had a momish injury. Tore his ACL and is now playing at a high level.
Why was Joe Burrow? He never stunk in the first place. He just didn't play much. So why was he the comeback player of the year last year?
That's because he got hurt. He came back from his injury.
What was he coming back from?
Geno Smith didn't come back. Geno Smith was never there.
He's been in the league. Never there.
He's coming back.
He was 60.
Geno Smith is not coming from anywhere.
He was 65 to 95. He played. He started four games last year.
This is a semantics argument, Aaron. If you're saying it's just the term comeback. If you want to, you have to find the definition of the comeback player of the year, and we can discuss it, because I think that's what we really need here. Not that this doesn't really apply here, but just my perspective is that there are a lot of good running backs. Saquon is also, he's great, but I think the demand for quarterback is much higher. I think it just it boosts it a little bit. Now, I don't think it really plays into comeback player of the year in that regard, but just from a value standpoint, Geno Smith is arguably probably more valuable right now than Saquon is.
I agree.
The rules for comeback player of the year. The National Football League comeback player of the year award refers to a number of awards that are given to the National Football League player who has shown perseverance in overcoming adversity or in the form of not being in the NFL the previous year, a severe injury, or simply poor performance. So he just wasn't there, or poor performance.
I think that's even. I think that plays just as well for Saquon as it does for Geno.
Now that I know this, I now switch over to, I agree, Geno Smith is a clear runaway favorite of a comeback player of the year at this time.
There you go, baby.
All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to our next game, our third largest spread. The Saints go in to play the Red Hot Niners. Niners, like we said, favored by 9.5. Rocky, is this a sneaky loss for the Niners? Because that's what I'm kind of sniffing here. I'm sniffing. The Niners will do it. I know they will at some point. They're going to lose a bad game.
I picked the Saints at first, and then I'm like, just because I hate Jimmy G, I'm very biased against the Niners.
Jimmy G is arguably the most handsome quarterback in the NFL.
He's a pretty good-looking guy, but that has nothing to do with your on-field performance. So that's the only problem.
The refs like you more if you're pretty looking.
Did you see?
Interesting. That's the Tom Brady effect, right?
The entrance when the Niners played the Cards last week, and it was like Jimmy G walks in with like a fresh suit. Nice. He looks gorgeous. He could be on the cover of a model magazine. And then it's like Colt McCoy is like, he's like sunburnt. He's wearing like a fisherman's like jacket. He looks like he just like came out of retirement. Right. I don't know. There's just something about him.
100%. No, that's the problem. The one problem is Jimmy G, but it's not going to hold me back from picking the Niners. There's too many playmakers. Like, I'm just watching this and you're like, Christian McCaffrey, as I've been saying from the beginning, he is far more valuable as a receiver than a running back, Meister. We talked about this right away. And as a receiver, he's pretty valuable. He's like a solid slot receiver. Not worth, for a solid slot receiver, with a second, third, fourth, fifth, seventh, whatever, all the picks. No, but a slot receiver improves the offense. As we said, they're a better team with Christian McCaffrey. They got Deebo Samuel, such a versatile player. Now getting Brandon Ayuk involved in the offense. George Kittle, pick your poison. I love Eli Mitchell in there, too. He's a perfect Kyle Shanahan-type player. And Juice, most underrated player on the 49ers offense, by the way, is Kyle Juszczyk. So despite the quarterback, they will kick you-know-what in this game.
Rocky, to your point, the second half of the game against the Cardinals, McCaffrey, I don't think he took one handoff.
Thank you.
He was lining up the entire time. I was very upset because I had McCaffrey on rushing.
Oh, yeah, that's it for you. I wasn't there.
It was game over for me. He had 31 rushing yards in the first half, and he rushed another like 8 yards in the entire second half. He had a bunch of receiving yards.
Exactly. That's McCaffrey.
I'm wordy.
No, I was just saying because Elijah Mitchell is a good enough running back. They don't need why would they even like bother? Like if they can replace him with a pretty solid guy, then like why wouldn't they?
Christian McCaffrey is a rich man's Ray Rice. You know, just the guy that Ray Rice, when you gave it like to get past the defensive line, struggle. But once you gave it to him past the defensive line, now he's in the open and now it's like, uh-oh, Ray Rice is hey diddle diddle, you know? So Christian McCaffrey, I mean, it's not that he's a bad running back, but once again, he's way more dangerous when you throw a quick to him and he's gone. My real favorite bet from this whole game is the under on this game. I don't think it's 43, and I know I will be shocked if it even gets close to 40.
Yeah, I mean,
The Saints shouldn't score here.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't think the Saints...
The Saints at most score 15 points at most.
Then the Niners score 30 and you got the over.
Right, so that's your hope. Your hope is that the Niners just don't run the score up. Okay.
If the Niners cover the spread, then there's a good chance it'll go over. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I don't like the Niners either. I mean, I'll take the 49ers. I think, once again, it's going to be a scrappy win. Nothing exciting. Just a silly, classic Jimmy Garoppolo win. And no one cares when Jimmy Garoppolo wins.
Now let's go to our next game, the Rams at the Chiefs. And this, I'm so tempted to pick this spread, my Steve. What did we say, Chiefs by 15.5? Ah, man, should we do it? Like, should I do it? Should I just dive into it? And like, 15.5 is an enormous spread. I'm not doing it.
It's Bryce Perkins, Rocky.
No, should I do it? Let's do it. You know what? Let's do it. Chiefs 15.5. Put me down, baby. Third spread of the week, 15.5.
I love it, Rocky. That's I love it. Thanksgiving is getting to you.
I know. I'm never this risky. I'm never this bold.
I'll tell you, though. Like we said, Bryce Perkins versus a team, not just against Patrick Mahomes. No, he's going up against a team that is literally built to destroy you.
Yeah.
Like, that team is built to crush you every game. That is, they have, what's his name at coach? I can't even remember his name off the top of my head. I keep thinking Alex Smith, but that's the old quarterback.
McVay? You're saying the Chiefs, Andy Reid.
Andy, thank you. I'm sitting here saying Alex Smith.
Maybe one day.
Andy Reid is an amazing coach, clearly. And he will have this team just – and it's a Super Bowl matchup, right? Like there are so many – there. It is a Super Bowl matchup, right?
No, no, Chiefs – no, the Rams – no, the Rams put notes.
Oh, no, that was a Monday Night Football game. That Chiefs.
Right. Oh, yes. It's a rematch of that crazy game 4 years ago we watched together on Monday Night Football. Yeah, good call. That was
Cooper Kupp out. Matthew Stafford out. Their defense, Aaron Donald, has just been not Aaron Donald, right?
Aaron Donald's been fine, but Leonard Floyd hasn't been Leonard Floyd, and the rest of the defense just hasn't done anything, you know?
That's like, helping it. And Jalen Ramsey has been getting beat more times than he's ever been in his career. So – these are types of games where, like, the NFL just put out a statement, like, the game won't be happening, final score.
Canceled!
Final score at 37. Like, okay, woohoo, everyone move on. because you're not even going to hear about it. Like, you can watch Red Zone a full day, and you're not going to see it. They'll show the big play that Mahomes throws a screen to Kelsey, and he runs for 89 yards down the field.
Literally, that's...
It's going to be stupid, but other than that, taking the Chiefs minus 15.5 is the only time I'd ever be like, take the double-digit spread. This is crazy. They should destroy them.
Are you going to take it?
I'm going to join you in that, and I'm going to remove my Vikings spread.
Okay.
Give me the Vikings to win, and give me that 15.5 because I want it.
Let's freaking do it, baby. I love it. Oh, I love it. Okay. Morty, you take the 15. Okay, we'll get to them in a second. Let's go to we have Sunday Night Football. We're gonna need Morty for this for sure. Packers at Eagles. What's the spread you have for this one, Meisty? For the Packers at Eagles.
The Eagles minus 6.5 over the Packers.
That's not a bad spread either. Packers struggling a lot here. I mean, you know, even after they got that big win against the Cowboys, and we're thinking Thursday Night Football against the Titans, can they rebound? And we all sat there and we're like, I don't know, man. Still, like, not looking great in Green Bay. And even though Christian Watson sort of come on as, you know, starting to evolve into that rookie receiver, number one receiver that they wanted him to become, but it's just not pretty there, Micey. It's just downhill. Someone made the prediction that Aaron Rodgers won't be starting in a few weeks, which might, in fact, be the case. They'll be so far out of playoff contention, 3-7 right now, I believe, that they won't even start Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to go with the Eagles here, man.
It's crazy to say this because it shows you a difference between the AFC and the NFC. The Packers are almost in the same boat as like the Bengals. It's a win or go home situation, and it's against the Eagles, so good luck. I'll take the Eagles to win, but I'll say like this. Like you said, Christian Watson's been playing, has fallen into that role. Randall Cobb has come back from injury now. He played last week, did okay, but I think they'll get him more involved. I think that it's not as bad of a game as we think it will be. I think it'll be a very good game. It's Aaron Rodgers, prime time. It's what he lives for. He doesn't care for Sunday at 1 o'clock. He cares for prime time, lights are on, Aaron Rodgers shows out. But once again, the only hope, the real hope the Packers have is that Aaron Jones decides to show up. And if Aaron Jones shows up, we've seen that the Eagles can be ran on. And that is their hope. That if Aaron Jones can get it going, fine. But once again, the Packers defense will not be able to stand toe-to-toe with the Eagles offense. The Eagles offense will just push the ball down the field, should be able to push the ball down the field. But the Eagles have been struggling in weeks now, back-to-back weeks. The Packers have been had shown success over the last 2 weeks. So I think that it's almost a disrespectful spread. It's so opposite and they're so bad. But at the end of the day, the Packers shouldn't make it some sort of a fight because it is Aaron Rodgers. It is the Packers. And the Eagles have been struggling. But once again, I think the Eagles probably still cover this game because they'll win by 7. But this game shouldn't be one of those like, oh, we have to watch this on a Sunday night. Flex it. No, this is a good game for Sunday Night Football.
And Dominican Sue is he's helped the running game in Dominican Sue for the Eagles and yeah. a couple of other. So you know, I think right. the run defense will be better.
Yeah, like you said. But once again, but the Eagles have shown that running the ball on them is the key. That's the only hope. So right. Aaron Jones just has to move the ball down the field for them. Aaron Rodgers has to not beat Aaron Rodgers of the last 7 games, 8 games, whatever, and has to just play like he played against the Cowboys and just show up and just throw the ball to your darn receivers.
That's all it is.
But once again, Eagles have a much better defensive line compared to the Packers offensive line, right? That's been an issue. So we'll see. It shouldn't be the craziest game. It shouldn't be the most exciting game, but it definitely should be a good game. Like the Eagles one.
What'd you got, Morty?
Eagles by a million.
Okay.
Only because they're debuting their black helmets and all black jerseys.
Ooh,
amazing!
That's gonna look pretty good. That's gonna look pretty good.
Morty, so the podcast has decided, with or without you, that you've taken the just like me and Rocky have. You will be joining us in taking the Chiefs -15.5.
We're both taking the spread.
I think I used up all my spreads already.
No, don't matter. You don't have a
free
choice.
Free spread, Rocky. Do I get?
Morty, Rocky's riding. It's Rocky. You have to ride with Rocky.
I jumped into it. After the podcast, you'll rewatch this, us predicting the Chiefs Rams, and you'll see me going back and forth, and then Micey just convinced me. He persuaded me. I'm like, you know what? I'm doing it. Let's do it. I never take big spreads. I'm like, let's freaking do it. Let's go, baby.
I think you have to.
He's right.
It's probably going to be the biggest spread of the season, I'm guessing.
No, we've had 17, didn't we? We had a game that was 17 already, I think.
Let's see. Morty, are you going to take it? You're going to take
it? Yeah, why not? Yeah, sure. Hey!
Who are you going to switch it for?
Who do I have?
You have the Chargers, Ravens, and Bears. Oh, probably the Bears you were on the fence about. The Bears plus 6.
Yeah. So take it by the Bears then.
Let's go, baby.
Go, Bears.
Let's go. Love it. All right. Okay, and the Niners-Saints game. Who do you got for that one,
Morty? I want the Saints.
Ooh. You're going to pick this upset. Okay. Let's go to Monday Night Football. Let's wrap it up. We got the Colts at the interesting game. Steelers at Colts. What's the line over here, guys? What do you got? Steelers at Colts?
Steelers +2.5.
That's a good spread. The Colts have been better with Matt Ryan. Steelers put up a fight against the Bengals. They're a feisty team. They're not a team that are going to let you destroy them. They've never been that except for against the Bills this year. That was quite a destruction going on over there. But I like the Steelers to win this one, Meisty. I think Kenny Pickett is a type of guy that we're never going to see become a star in the NFL, but he'll keep them in a lot of games. He can make he can complete all the underneath stuff, sometimes making a couple mistakes at the end of the game. Will we see that big playability from him sort of start to develop? Maybe, but for now, I'm liking him taking the underneath stuff against when you have a guy like Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson, good weapons over there, conducive for a young guy like that. I'm liking the Steelers to take this one, Meisty.
Okay, I said this last Sunday, and I got a lot of flack for it. I'll say it again.
Kenny Pickett.
No. George Pickens. In 3 years from now, okay? When you talk about the top receivers in the league and you say, oh, you have Diggs or you have Justin Jefferson, you're going to be talking about George Pickens and not along those lines. He is so good at football. He just needs to be – I mean, it's not like he's not NFL speed ready, but once again, he's a rookie. He has to just – there's adaption to the game, but – George Pickens is so good at football. It's scary. His route running is good. His hands are insane. His football mind is nuts, and he's just a, just a super aggressive guy. He likes to be physical. I mean, if I was the, like, I look back now, I'm like, the Ravens, you needed a receiver who can catch the ball and block down the field. And literally the guy, that is what he is. I catch the ball and I block downfield. Like, how do you not draft that guy? He will be one of the best players in the NFL one day. Not this year because he doesn't have a quarterback right now. His quarterback is still learning. Either he ends up on a different team or he gets the Steelers finding a quarterback who can actually, and he'll be looking like Big Ben and Antonio Brown did, or Big Ben and Hines Ward. He'll just be one of those insane pits. And you're like, how did the Steelers do it again? They did it again. They drafted another one. It's insane. But once again, I think the Colts here with Jeff Saturday are just going out there. He has no experience. He has no clue what he's doing. He's like, ah, should we run it? Yeah, let's run it. Go, run. He's just, as I said, he's playing based off vibes. He's playing football like we play Madden. Jeff Saturday is just playing a real game of Madden. It's every kid's dream. Give me the Colts here because I hate the Steelers. Okay. At home, I mean, this is one of those games that it will, like I said, they're a feisty team. They get scrappy. They'll find a way to win. They also find ways to lose. But I think that they'll scrape away here on a Monday night.
What you got, Morty?
Yeah, I'm surprised this one wasn't flexed, really.
Monday nights can't be flexed.
Okay. Yeah, they can.
Okay, yeah. I don't like either of these teams. How many points do I get for a tie again?
Four.
He said you win.
You win, right? You only get one tie pick per year.
One per year?
And is that the rule, Meisty? One per year, yeah.
Is that the rule? Do you get 4 points, Meisty? What, no, 4 points?
I think you win.
You just win. If you correctly guess a tie,
you win the whole week. You win the whole week, yeah, but we record.
No, you win the whole season, Rocky. If you predict a tie, you win the whole season.
No, we can't throw all the other 17 weeks out the door just because you predict that.
You get all the points. You get max points across the board for the whole
week. Max points. I like it. Max points for the week. Fine. Yes.
This is my tie.
Okay, let's do it.
A tie on a Monday night.
Could you imagine? Oh, baby, you're going to push in this tie so hard. Oh, I would love to see that tie just because of that. All right. Are we ready? Meisty, you got a Meisty's money line? You got your lock of the week? Maybe look through it for little more?
Technically, the Chiefs are everyone's lock of the week, but if you want to get feisty.
Okay, let's do it, baby. Let's start.
No, but I'll say this. Let's give a spread. Let's talk a spread that's a lock.
Yeah, wait a second. Spread. Let's do one. Morty, do you have anything you want to put in here?
I'll have one.
Okay. Rocky and Meisty parlay, we'll do one. Maybe you could do a second one, Meisty, because it's your segment. So let's get started with Meisty's money line.
Yeah, you can't be like, oh, this team's a blowout, because then in a parlay it doesn't pay out right. It's you need odds that are like close. So I think Chargers -3 over the Cardinals. Lock that in there. I think the Chargers crushed them. No, we're going to go. Oh, we go Ravens 3 also. Okay, we'll go Chargers -3.
I'll take your other one, Meisty. Ravens -4 has got to be, I mean, against the Jaguars team. Yeah, we've seen Trevor Lawrence do some nice things this year, shown some sparks. Hasn't really showed that real upside we expect to see from a number one overall pick. But at the same time, the Jaguars are just not, they don't have a good roster. Like, maybe he could keep them in a few games. -4 is not an overly big. The Ravens were awful on offense last year against a Panthers team that is superior to the Jaguars overall. And yet, they won by 10 still, Meisty. So, yeah, I'm going to go with the, and it was the worst game of the season for the Ravens. I'm going with the Ravens -4. I'm liking that line. Not even from a biased perspective, because I never pick the Ravens spreads in these parlays. But, yeah, give me the Chargers. Give me the Ravens. Who you got, Morty?
Give me the Bears.
Money line.
I mean, if I'd say either one. If you really want to juice up the parlay, put in go money line. If you want to play it safe, I think +6 is a great spread.
Fine. Those are good value picks over there. Ravens -4, Chargers -3, and Bears +6. Anyone have anything to add to the pot?
I like that they don't give us an option. I'm looking at DraftKings Sportsbook. They're not showing me options for a tie here. This is unfair.
No, it's definitely there somewhere.
Yeah, I'll have to find it anywhere. No, I definitely have to find it. But I think that we have to start a Ravens segment. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to ask our, as they say in PMT, award-winning listeners.
AWLs.
So to our AWLs, I think we have to start a Ravens, because we can just handle the Ravens. Maybe a Ravens segment. But I don't know, because I wanted, because we just said the Ravens in the parlay, and I thought about something. Dude, Patrick Queen has been, since Roquan Smith has joined, insane. He's been getting to his tackles. Because something I said earlier in the season about Patrick Queen was, is that he is always in the right spot, just never making the right play. He's always in the backfield. He's always chasing the right guy, just never getting the tackle. Now he's getting the tackle. He's making the right plays. This guy has turned his whole season. Like, I thought going into the season that this might be Patrick Queen's last season as a Raven. I think now they've locked him in. They're like, this is our guy. PQRS. Patrick Queen, Mr. Smith's.
It's funny. It's funny you're saying that, Mikey. I was just talking about this with someone earlier today about Patrick Queen, ninth in the league in pass rush grade. And when Patrick Queen came to the league, we're sort of like, well, he's a run stuff specialist, right? And they were hoping maybe he can develop in the coverage game. He never did over the first 2 years. He was not particularly good in coverage. That's why tight ends tend to dominate in the middle of the field was a weakness for the Ravens defense. But this year it's been a different story, especially since Roquan Smith got in there. But even before that, like, his game has really developed to a point where he's been. Again, ninth in the league in pass rush. The run defense has been much better this year. Coverage could still use a lot of improvement, but loving what I'm seeing from Patrick Queen as well. Linebackers in general are a very interchangeable position. You don't really have one guy that's going to be the top for more than 5 years. Like Ray Lewis, Patrick Willis, Brian Urlacher, in recent memory, these guys were exceptions, that they were just really good every single year, but you don't really have that so much with the linebacker position in general this year, nowadays, Meisty. So, but let's see what happens over here down the stretch with these linebackers. We got Thanksgiving football. We got a whole slate on Sunday. All 16 games are being played. 32 teams. It's very interesting this week because they're taking a break from the byes, and then they're having another bye next week. Very late byes in week 13. Generally, by the time Thanksgiving comes along, there's no more byes. But I guess with that 18th week, they want everyone to play on Thanksgiving, and then they're going to go back to having the byes next week. So with that being said, a full slate of football tomorrow, as this recording is as of Wednesday night, a full slate of football on Sunday, and then we got Monday night, the Jeff Saturdays going up against the Kenny Pickett. So let's go, baby. Football Sunday, football Thanksgiving is here. Gobble, gobble. Enjoy Thanksgiving. Enjoy football, everyone. Remember to subscribe on Spotify. Again, as Meisty said, please, your suggestions about our Ravens segment idea. We always want to hear those as well. You can reach out to us on Twitter, at Rocky and Meisty. We are now verified. And you can also email us, RockyMeisty@gmail.com. Until then, everyone, enjoy.